From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of June, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Take up the agricultural energy sector with Dan O'Brien of K-State out of Kansas. And we'll hear the crop progress and condition reports from the statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and, of course, Indiana. As we close out the program, we'll look at the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Let's take a look at how the numbers settled up in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures were higher in the nearby July wheat at 6.40 and a quarter, up 17.5 cents today. September at 6.71 and three quarters, up 21, and December at 7.15, up 19 and a quarter. They were led higher in large part by the spring and the hard red winter wheat. The hard red gained $8.33 and a quarter cents at $8.39 in Kansas and Kansas City. Actually, that was in the spring. In Minneapolis, up 33 and a quarter at $8.39. The hard red at 7.43 and three quarters, up 15 and a quarter. July corn futures, $6.83, up 22 and a quarter today. September at 6.70, 25 and three quarters higher. December at 6.53, up 26 and a quarter. March corn at 6.67 and three quarters, up 27 and a quarter. And the May futures at $6.74 and a half cents, up 26 and a half. Next year's December, the 2012 contract at $6.11, up 25 and three quarters. July beans a penny higher at $13.30 and three quarters. August at $13.24 and a half, up 1 and three quarters. September at $13.21, 4 and a quarter higher. November beans up 4 at $13.19. The January's up 4 and a half at $13.29 and a quarter. The bean meal finished July at $338.90, down $4.10. July bean oil at $55.34, up 43 cents. Live cattle futures August contract, $111.75, 37 and a half cents higher. September feeders at $138.67 and a half, up 42 and a half cents. And August lean hogs at $92.35 per 100 pounds, unchanged. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading the August contract at $92.80 a barrel, up $2.19. Ethanol at $2.67, 6 cents higher. Natural gas at $4.36 even, up 10 and 4 tenths of a cent. Heating oil or diesel fuel, 5 and 9 tenths of a cent higher at $2.82 and 4 tenths of a cent. And the gold futures for the day at $1,499.70 an ounce, up $3.70. The Dow Jones Industrial Average stands at 12,177, just about 134 points higher. The dollar at 75.06, down 0.32. And the CRB index on the day at 334.46, up 5.71 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign areas. It comes from the National Weather Service today. They say sunny skies, a high of 81, northwest winds at about 10 miles an hour. Tonight, clear, a low of 59, north-northwest winds at 6. They'll become calm. Wednesday, sunny, a high of 83. Wednesday night, clear, a low of 63. Southwest winds at 5 to 6 miles an hour. And Thursday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 86 degrees. Southeast winds between 7 and 10 miles an hour, though gust as high as 15 miles an hour. Thursday night, partly cloudy, a low of 69. Friday, mostly sunny, a high near 94. Friday night, partly cloudy and a low of 75 degrees. By the time we get to Saturday, we should see partly sunny skies, a high near 90 degrees. Saturday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low around 69 degrees on Saturday evening. And then on Sunday, partly sunny, a high near 86. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 67 degrees. On Independence Day, mostly sunny skies, a high near 85 degrees. That's the forecast. We'll have more when we get to the bottom of the hour and we talk with Don Day of Day Weather. He is in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Again, this is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On this Tuesday afternoon, time to check the agricultural futures markets. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, is on the phone line with us. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, you know, I leave for a week, and I go out and check things out in New York, and the market bottoms out. Well, I'm going to say bottoms out. The market goes down. How about that?
There we go.
And then I return, and there's a little upside in the market. I forgot to tell you that was supposed to happen today when I got back.
You forgot to tell me.
I did. Was it unexpected, or are we just in that place where if something in the outside markets isn't working, we turn back and we look at the weather?
Well, I think a couple things going on. Of course, we had the Cargill CEO talking about all the crop ground that has been lost to the flooding. We had the Dakotas talking about how many acres were not planted there. We've got the one sort of weather-type wind over Russia talking with a little bit for that. And yesterday we had the longs being scared before the report, reducing their risk aversion, as they call it. And today it seemed like the shorts seemed to be a little bit that way after bottoming yesterday and bouncing back off the lows that we made yesterday, sort of feeling like maybe they wanted to lighten up some of their load today also. So we're not sure if this was a weather-induced, you know, the weather forecast at noon today basically looked a little kinder and gentler than it did yesterday at this time, Todd, as far as looking at the crops. But I think there is quite a bit of fear as to what the government may or may not say come Thursday morning.
In large part, is what's happening being led by the spring wheat out of Minneapolis?
You know, that should be the smallest, most insignificant market that we have trading compared to corn or beans or even just wheat in Chicago. But it does seem to throw some pretty heavy weight around when they're looking for something off to the side. You know, the one thing we did have today that was a little bit surprising, the stock market took off because we didn't really figure there was anything that good in that going on. Crude oil up a couple bucks and the dollar down about 33 cents through the last part of the day when we saw the market rally for the outside markets looking especially. But, you know, we should be paying, you know, the Minneapolis wheat, of course, we know that there's a whole bunch of acres of spring wheat that did not get planted.
Yeah, indeed. Hey, the other thing is, of course, we need to take a look at that Thursday morning report that's due out from USDA. What do you see? And do you agree with the numbers that have been, and there have been a couple of good sets, actually, that have come out of on the acreage report and on the ending stocks, too. One of them was just dead wrong, and it was a reporting error, but that was kind of fun to watch, at least.
Well, you know, the average trade guess is 90.767. We've been seeing 90.5 now for a long time. The highest guess was a 91.5, and that come from Iowa Grain. You know, ADM is sitting at the 90.5. Allendale, who seems to be a pretty much, it's a farmer-type survey more of their own, they're at a little higher acreage as the 91.25. So it's a little funny that theirs generally tends to be a little bit on the low side, tends to be on the high side this time, because theirs is generally their customer-type survey.
What are you hearing from parts of Indiana, parts of Ohio? Actually, when I went to New York, I drove straight through that area. There were places, more so in Indiana than Ohio, that just were really rough. You get past Greenville on the other side of Indianapolis, and things turn pretty ugly pretty quickly. But then things start to green up, and it looks like they might have actually done a lot of planting in Ohio.
I was at a seminar yesterday, and there was quite a few attendees from Ohio there, and they said they were planted, but their planting dates were rather late. That was stuff pretty small over there, Todd.
Yeah. Well, it was small. It was really small. And I got to tell you, the beans look worse than the corn at this point, but we'll see how that all turns out. Beans can kind of hang around for a while, but I don't know whether they can recover probably from there are some awful spotty fields, and I don't think they can come back from that.
The question mark, and that was bandied about much, was that Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Nebraska, the crop ratings had been extremely well in those states, and that they would actually, if you put them with their crop the production
increases.
Estimates, that they would have over 50 like 59% of the crop in their area, in those areas, mm-hmm. and that those are all rated well, and then we have to average the others. And that was the talk of the day yesterday, that the good might outdo the bad. But, you know, zero those don't add up fast, and that's what you saw a lot of in those ponding areas and those fields that weren't planted, and the part of North Dakota that didn't get planted, and all of those acres that are drowned out. And that's the big question mark now, is how many zeros do we have out there to add in?
What do you make of Cargill CEO making comments about the size of the acreage?
I'm very surprised. Cargill hardly ever sticks their neck out and makes comments, let alone throws something like that in at this point in time. So I'm not quite sure where that's coming from. It's very strange to hear Cargill make statements like that.
All right. Well, we won't touch any more on that. Anything else I need to add before I let you go for the day?
No, that's about it for today, Todd.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report to take a look at the agricultural futures.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
The Closing Market Report comes to you courtesy of this station, Illinois Public Media, and the University of Illinois. Hey, you're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Please do visit our website at willag.org, where you can sign up for our podcast and have programming delivered to your computer automatically. The podcast at willag.org, that's willag.org. Yesterday afternoon, USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture, released the latest crop condition and progress reports. It shows that as of Sunday, 54% of the corn crop across the nation in good condition, 14% in excellent condition. That compares to 56 and 14 the previous week, and 54 and 19 from 1 year ago. From the soybean side of the row crops in the Midwest, 97% now planted. That compares to 96% over the rolling five-year average, 94% as of this same date of last year. The soybean crop is 92% emerged, and it's in pretty decent condition, 54% good, 11% excellent, compares to the previous week of 57 and 11, and last year at 53 and 14. Winter wheat is now 44% harvested across the nation. The rolling five-year average is 37%. Last year it was just 31% done. It's in not such good condition, 27% good, 8% excellent. Pay attention to the numbers, because last year at this same time, 50% of the winter wheat crop was in good condition and 14% was in excellent condition. USDA next week will add a couple of new reports to the progress, including silking for corn and blooming for soybeans. Now here are the state statisticians from the Midwest that collect all that data.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending June 26, 2011. Another week of cooler than normal temperatures and frequent rainfall across Iowa limited field work and caused crop condition ratings to decline. Statewide, average precipitation for the week was 1.96 inches compared with the normal of 1.08 inches, with this being the sixth week out of the past seven to average wetter than usual. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged 3.5 degrees below normal, and reporters note that some fields are getting very weedy, ponding is occurring in some areas, and flooding continues in the western part of the state. There were 2.1 days suitable for field work statewide during the past week. The additional rainfall during the week pushed topsoil moisture ratings to 100% adequate to surplus across Iowa, and subsoil moisture rated 99% adequate to surplus, with the surplus category increasing 8 and 9 points from last week, respectively. With 99% of the soybean crop emerged, the condition was reported at 76% good to excellent, down 6 percentage points from last week, while the condition of the corn crop was rated 80% good to excellent, down 4 points. 76% of the oat crop was headed, compared with 88% in 2010 and the average 81%, as the oat crop condition stands at 76% good to excellent. The frequent rainfall made it hard for producers to harvest hay during the week, and first cutting alfalfa hay harvest at 79% complete fell behind the normal of 83%. The condition of the hay crop is reported at 65% good to excellent, and pasture condition is rated 74% good to excellent, both down slightly from a week ago. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is David Ward, agricultural statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending June 26th. Another week of wet and soggy conditions led to an average of only 2.5 days suitable for field work across the state this week. Temperatures averaged just under 71 degrees, 3 degrees below normal for this time of year, and rainfall came in at 3/4 of an inch above normal, ending the week at 1.66 inches. Corn shot up another 10 inches from the previous week for an average height of 34 inches. This compares to an average height of 54 inches last year and 42 inches for the 5-year average. 64% of the corn crop was rated in either good or excellent condition. Soybean planting increased by only 1% from the previous week, ending the week at 97% planted, which is still ahead of the 5-year average of 94%. Of the soybeans planted, 93% are reported emerged, compared to 90% 1 year ago and 89% for the 5-year average. 63% of the soybean crop was rated in either good or excellent condition. Despite the weather, winter wheat harvesting was in full swing this week, with 43% of the crop being reported as harvested, compared to 58% last year and 51% for the 5-year average. This has been David Ward with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service with the crop weather report for the week ending June 26, 2011. Another wet week with below-normal temperatures slowed crop development across the state. Strong winds and hail impacted localized areas with crop damage ranging from shredded leaves to total plant destruction. Accumulations of over 5.5 inches of rainfall were recorded in a few locations in the state. However, in some southern areas, pivots were being run. Corn conditions rated at 79% good to excellent, near 81% good to excellent last year, and 77% average. Soybean conditions rated 80% good to excellent above previous year. Half of the wheat crop was turning color while 7% was ripe. Wheat conditions rated 56% good to excellent, which is below last year's 71% good to excellent. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 26, 2011. Heavy, frequent rains combined with cool temperatures contributed to delays in crop development behind the 5-year average pace. Reporters noted that with little time to dry out between rains, soils were saturated and many fields had standing water. Wet conditions delayed herbicide applications in areas and caused difficulties cutting and harvesting the first crop of alfalfa. The average precipitation for the state was 2 inches, with totals reaching 4.1 inches in Canby and 3.8 inches in Faribault. Temperatures were 4.2 degrees below normal. Corn average height was 16 inches, that's 13 inches below the 5-year average. And condition was rated with 24% fair and 57% in good condition. Soybeans emerged advanced 8 percentage points from last week to 97% and were 5 inches tall compared to 8 inches for the average. That's the weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 26, 2011. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending June 26th. High winds and hail from severe thunderstorms during the week caused some crop damage and left soils too wet to do much field work. Delays in herbicide application was evident as weeds began to flourish. Nitrogen application is running behind, raising farmers concerned that the corn plants may be too tall soon to apply nitrogen. The excessive moisture damage and nitrogen loss have left many fields looking uneven in height. The winter wheat harvest was slowed by the wet field conditions, and many hay producers have had to carefully fit hay cutting between the showers. The precipitation range from 0.52 to 4.56 inches. Temperatures average from a high of 93 to a low of 54 degrees. For the week, 2.9 days were rated as suitable for field work. 98% of the planted corn acreage has emerged behind last year's 100% and 99% for the 5-year average. Corn condition for the week was rated at 57 percent good to excellent compared to 65% last year at this time. 95% of the intended soybean acreage has been planted compared to 94% for last year and 95% for the five-year average. By area of the state, 94% of the soybeans have been planted in the north, 97% in the central region, and 92% in southern Indiana. 87% of the planted soybean acreage has emerged behind the 89% for last year and the 90% for the five-year average. 16% of the winter wheat acreage has been harvested, compared with 34% for last year and 28% for the five-year average. Winter wheat condition is rated 58% good to excellent compared to 62% last year at this time for Indiana. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Our thanks to the statisticians from Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana for updating their regions. Let's turn our attention to the agricultural, energy, and outside markets at this point. On the phone line on this Tuesday afternoon with us is Dan O'Brien of K-State in Kansas. He's an extension personnel there. Thanks so much for being with us today, Dan. I do appreciate that. You sent me a couple of notes. You want to talk about some of the outside markets. Why don't we start with the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the U.S. stock market? What kind of impact does it have?
Well, stock market's been hopping all over the place, of course, up and down moves. I think that with regard to energy prices, oil on its recent downturn anyway, that has moved lower, that has had dampened, at least last week, some of the enthusiasm for ethanol prices, as well as corn, the cost of corn that would go into that. So, but here now, in the last year, so we've recovered a bit of that. So to know where the crop is going, I guess, Todd, is really more an issue of waiting out to see what happens in your part of the country and my part of the country. Here in both the East and the West Corn Belt, in terms of corn production, I think ultimately will still be driven in terms of corn prices by supply and demand factors, and probably from now until September, probably mainly supply concerns. Yep. We'll see what happens this fall.
By the way, we did not get an update, and usually don't, from Kansas, but Kansas is now a corn state more so than a wheat. I don't know whether Kansas wants to lay claim to that, but that's the way the numbers hold out at this point. So what's it look like in the state of Kansas?
The crops are certainly in on time. We have some issues to deal with in terms of heat this summer. We have extreme drought, rated extremely drought challenged in throughout parts of the south central, southwest, west central part of the state. We've caught some recent rains, but here we're having 100 degree temperatures or so right now. So I think at this point, we're very much at risk to whatever dry conditions might come about for the non-irrigated cropland. For irrigation, really our main risk there is just hail and crop maturity. As it looks right now, if the irrigation comes through, we should have enough to take care of our needs, or so we hope. And of course, from there, that'll affect the bioenergy markets in terms of the availability of corn and the price of corn and the profitability of the overall complex.
It's all about supply and demand.
There you go.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
You have a good day.
Yeah, bye.
Dan O'Brien is with K-State Extension. He's in Kansas, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. You can hear what he had to say again if you'd like off our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. In just 2 minutes, I'll return. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day from Cheyenne, Wyoming.
It's National Tapioca Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1491, Henry VIII of England was born. He had a reputation for being rather self-indulgent and was frequently represented in art eating a large drumstick. In 1884, Congress declared Labor Day a legal holiday. In 1887, Coca-Cola syrup and extract were patented. In 1902, the U.S. Congress passed the Spooner Act, authorizing President Theodore Roosevelt to acquire rights from Colombia for the Panama Canal. In 1985, a survey by the U.S. Transportation Department indicated that 42% of drivers polled said that they drove faster than the then legal 55-mile-per-hour speed limit. And in 1985 as well, Route 66, the 59-year-old highway of 2,200 miles of blacktop, was decertified as a U.S. highway. The highway that was a legendary part of Americana saw highway crews removing the classic roadway shield markers that designated it as the Highway West. Route 66 started in Chicago and continued into Santa Monica, California. To travel from one end of Route 66 to the other, one would go through 8 states and 3 time zones. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, now joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. It doesn't get any nicer than it is today here in our part of the world. Can we expect more of this, or rain, heat? What's coming towards us?
Well, it really looks good in terms of what we are seeing, both when it comes to temperature and precipitation across the Corn Belt Midwest. We're looking at temperatures hovering close to normal values. We call this the Goldilocks forecast. It's not going to be too hot. It's not going to be too cool. And we may have just the right amount of rainfall over the next week to 10 days, spread out over several days as systems come on through. No area in particular looks to be hit real hard, but there should be a fairly good coverage of shower and thunderstorm activity over the next week or two over most of the nation's midsection.
Then turn your attention to Iowa, where it has been really pretty wet. And, of course, we have the Missouri River flooding not only there, but the rest of the way upstage. What do you see?
Well, the bad news is there's still going to be rain chances in the Missouri area, in the Missouri Valley, where we're looking at the flooding across portions of Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, and Iowa. Yes, there will be shower and thunderstorm activity. I don't see anything excessive. So, yes, there's rain in the forecast. Hopefully it's not going to be the amounts that would tip the scales when it comes to flooding. But at the same time, the systems that will move across the region will be fairly quick movers, which should keep amounts at least manageable.
Okay, Papa Bear. So we'll call that the cold or slightly cold area. But what about the hot places? It's been blistering in the Southwest.
Well, the Southwest is still going to stay hot, and I'm afraid that's something that's just probably not going to change. It's a carryover to the La Nina pattern that we had this winter and early spring, and now they're heading into their normal hot season. So while there is going to be some thunderstorm activity in the Southwest areas, more often than not, we're still going to be averaging below normal precipitation and above normal temperatures.
Check the growing regions in China and Ukraine for me.
Well, Ukraine looks pretty good. The chances of precipitation are going to be fairly good throughout the Ukraine, throughout those western areas of Russia, and across most of Eastern Europe. Now, Western Europe, a little bit drier, but Central and Eastern Europe are going to fare well with precipitation. China, going to be a lot like the Midwest and Corn Belt. They've got some good chances for precipitation over many areas, along with temperatures that really won't be all that far from normal. Maybe some areas of China a little bit hot in the central and northern areas, but nothing excessive.
It's always a pleasure, Don. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.